good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Thursday morning, the very last day of July. And across the way is Ken Cummins, the legend.
Well, good morning to you, Brian Marshall Sidebottom, the first.
Ta-da!
The second, the third, the last, the beginning.
No. Well, you know.
Yes, it's
definitely good. One day there's going to be a last. So.
Well, you never know. There might be another Brian Marshall Sidebottom come along.
Won't be from me.
Well, okay. So. Okay. Well, good morning to you. Yeah, there's a little reprieve coming in the weather, but yeah, it's still going to feel like it's July in
August. Sure.
But that's good. This heat wave is hopefully we'll not see another one of those. I hope not.
Me too.
But if it does, we'll deal with it and we'll roll on.
Yeah, then winter.
And thank God for another day.
Yeah, and then winter will be here and everybody will say, I wish it would warm back up.
Probably I won't. No. Unless it's down to the sub-zero stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I kind of fond of the fall and winter.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, on this morning, I don't know that this individual is listening, but we have Princeton and surrounding area listening. I have a dear friend. He's a friend of many, but he's my first radio boss. And he's still he and his wife are just dear friends of mine. That's Twyman and Betty Boren. Mm-hmm. Today is Twyman's 95th birthday.
Wow, 95.
So if you see Twyman Boren today, or you just want to give him a call, say happy birthday, 95 to Twyman. And that's quite an achievement. And,
yes, it is.
But he is still very active. He's on his computer doing things and his mind is great. He's still got his wit. And if you know Twyman, that's a whole lot of who he is. And so he's quite an interesting individual. He served in the United States Army in Korea. Yeah. I'm not sure of all my numbers here, but I believe 38 years as manager, or at least employee and manager, mm-hmm, of WPKY in Princeton.
Okay.
And of course that's where I got my first radio job, and mm-hmm, and I still do voice work for the station.
Yeah.
And my voice is heard on that station. I don't say hello, I'm Ken Cummins, but it's still my voice is on there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, how about that?
You're just everywhere.
No. Well, a lot of places. But anyway, 95.
95.
How about that?
That's like you said, that's a big accomplishment.
I think so, but not
it
just
really
as,
is. Not,
you know, it can't be like Methuselah lived to be 969, and what did Methuselah do? Twyman has a great influence. That's trained a lot of great young people that have gone on to be members of the Hall of Fame of broadcasting, coming from Princeton, Kentucky, and so that's incredible.
And many
are still active in broadcasting and in the media of some way. And so anyway, I just thought I'd just do a big shout out to him today. So if you see Twyman Boren, make sure today you reach out to him and say happy 95th birthday. Well, this morning on the front porch, I'm going to start a subject that I talk around a lot, but I'm specifically going to talk about it probably over a period of time. But I think it's a vital subject. I hear a lot of talk about it through major headquarters of church denominations, and I see it as a practitioner. And what can we do about it? It's easy to talk about it, but what can be done? There's a lot can be done. And we'll talk about what that is if you hang around right here on
Missionary Radio.
Hi, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of Missionary Radio, and we just want to say thank you to every faithful listener who gives, prays, and stands with us. Your partnership is why the gospel is on the air right now. You may never meet the lives you've touched, the truck driver who gave his life to Jesus, the single mom who sings along with her kids, the person who found peace at 2 a.m. through a worship song. That's because of you. But summer's here, and like many ministries, giving slows down. In some areas, it's down by 50%. Would you consider becoming a new partner today? Or if you've given before, would you give again so the message continues? You can give safely at missionary.radio or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Together, we're sharing the love of Jesus, one song, one soul at a time. Thank you for making it possible.
to exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the Front Porch.
And I just want to add to what Ken was saying there, that we appreciate those who stepped up so that we can reach those that I mentioned, the truck driver, to the person overnight that needs a word of encouragement, to that lonely person in the jail cell, to you. So I believe that the reason that we exist is to make the to clearly make the gospel loud and clear. And I don't mean, when I mean loud, we don't mean by turning up the volume just to make it clear in the name of Jesus, prompted by the Holy Spirit. I really do. In fact, I see that how vital the media is, and I still believe in the specific medium of radio to get it done. So I praise God for that. Hey, well, good morning to you. Let's see if you recognize these words by William P. McKay. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light. You have shown us our Savior and scattered our night. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. All glory and praise to God of all grace, who has brought us and sought us and guided our ways. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Of course, the refrain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Now, that's an old song. In fact, it was written by William P. McKay during the time of the war between the states in 1863. And we are in this time right now that for some reason, I don't know that there's a parallel, that's just an observation that I heard over SRN News coming in this morning, listening to Brian Marshall Side Bottom the First, and I heard that the 100th anniversary of the Scotes Monkey Trial and how that Christianity pushed out of schools and evolution pushed in, which it takes more faith to believe that nonsense than it does the Word of God, but as if that is some accomplishment and how far along we have. Well, look what it's brought us. Yeah. It's brought people that don't know if they're a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. It's brought politicians who are afraid to describe what a real woman is. Mm-hmm. And or it's just amazing to me how we see and are for men, biological men, are in women's sports. And that's just one issue. Mm. But we've come a long way. There used to be an old cigarette commercial that I'm not going to say what is because I don't want to give it footage. But it says we've come a long way, baby, to get where we got to today. And we got our own blank cigarettes now, baby. We've come a long, long way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's some things that we could mention that have come a long, long way, but the one that are good, but whereas at the same time, where we haven't come a long, long way as the church is where we've taken the back pew. Literally, people fight for the back pew. I've got opinions on that, but that's just it's an opinion. Everyone has one, but I will say this, that I do believe that and no doubt that there's need for church revitalization. Now, you can plan it, yes. There are guideposts and ways to do it, yes. But it comes down to the work of the Holy Spirit that I just mentioned and a whole lot of repenting going on and the work of God and the move on his people. He is willing to do that. The question is, are we willing to let him? Now, do we... I hear a lot since I've been itinerating to different churches. I hear this, well, if we could just get ourselves a young pastor.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I'm all for it. I was once upon a time a young pastor, a preacher.
Yeah.
And I'm all for that. Yeah, absolutely. Let's give them an opportunity as if that's going to be their silver bullet.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to tell you that is not your silver bullet. Not at all. Well, more people would come, but what are you producing?
Mm.
What's coming through your church? What
Are you producing disciples? Are you producing admirers of Jesus?
Yeah.
There's quite a difference between the two. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that's quite heavy with a bowl of cereal this morning, but let me just share this with you. There's something sacred about the key for the cry of revival. In Psalm 85:6, it says, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" Psalm 95 is a prayer. It's a prayer of restoration, a longing for God to breathe back life into his people. So the psalmist doesn't ask for better programs. He doesn't ask for new lights, mm-hmm. new screens, new skinny jeans, and new strategies or bigger crowds. He asks for God himself to come and do what only God can do,
mm-hmm.
revive. Now, church revitalization then begins here with this is the key. If this element isn't here, it's not going to happen. With a desperate recognition that what we need most is not more effort, but more God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good place to be quoted.
Very good.
A desperate recognition, desperate for God. Not more effort, but more God. I think that too many churches are like the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37, present in form but absent in life.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that. They meet weekly. They sing songs half-heartedly. Preach sermons. Some of them are TED Talks. Yet something is missing. The Spirit's fire has mm-hmm. grown dim.
Mm-hmm.
Mission has been replaced with maintenance. The joy of the Lord has been traded for survival mode. Is that where you are? He said, what are we going to do about it? That's up to you and to yield to God. Well, we just can't. Well, I just think about my ag advisor. It's a freshman. I'll never forget his words. He said this, can't bear it if and died. And he was talking about we young bucks giving speeches. Well, I didn't realize I was going to make my entire living speaking.
Yeah.
I surely have, and I'm at the autumn of it now. But I will tell you now, God, and I believe this, is not done with his church. He promises to revive. He said he would.
Mm-hmm.
He delights in restoring what is broken. He has a way of putting broken things back together that only God can. Humpty Dumpty didn't know what to do. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Yes, he did.
All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. They didn't ask God.
Mm-mm.
But I know that's just a nursery rhyme, but it's got a lot of teaching to it. We look for everything else to fix it.
That's right.
Well, more excitement. Let's dim the lights. Let's make it a little louder on the crescendo.
Yep.
I got other things I could say.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a show.
Mm-hmm.
He longs to see his people rejoicing. There is the key. If it's real,
that's right.
He longs to see his people rejoicing in him again. Mm-hmm. And I want to add, anything minus the word of God is not going to work.
That's right.
That's what...
Very true.
I have noticed that those brothers that still stand to preach the word of God in power, not in volume, my brother. That's okay if you want to get excited. But if you aren't saying anything besides hallelujah, amen, amen, and you have no content, what have you done? You just said hallelujah, amen, amen.
That's true.
You got to dig for the content.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But he longs to see his people rejoicing in him again. The same God who parted the sea, raised the dead, and turn hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, is still working today.
Amen.
I know he is.
Amen.
He desires to renew the church, not through hype, not through gimmicks, but through humble hearts that seek his face. Now, that's my premise for these Front Porch series that I'm about to tackle. Now, I'll go back to some of those statements and fleshing them out a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but do we really want to see and see the church on fire? I do.
I do too.
And I know it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people are leaving some of these dead spots and going to where their life is.
True.
Let me just get real. You're listening to The Front Porch right here on
Missionary Radio.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for doing what you do every day to spread the message of God's love. From a Gracie listener, "I love the radio station." From Hopkinsville, "Thank you. You have helped me so much in my ministry. I listen to you all the time." Also from Clarksville, "I appreciate your dedication to the Lord. I grew up listening to the station."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Holy Spirit, come.
Mm-hmm.
Amen to that. Well, good morning. You're on The Front Porch. You're on 100% listener-funded community station Missionary Radio. And 726 with Brian Marshall, side bottom the first.
Yep. I like that. I really do.
Well, you're welcome. I'm Ken Cummins. And a big shout-out to you. Thank you for joining us. We're talking here on The Front Porch about church revitalization. Now, that's a big subject, but it's more than just reprogramming, and it's more than just getting new lights and a new sound. It's not that at all. Church revitalization is needed because many churches today are spiritually stagnant,
mm-hmm.
numerically declining, and disconnected from their mission.
Mm-hmm.
Take one of the spiritually stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of stagnant, I think of, this is awful, but I sure wouldn't compare a church. I did this one time, and we had about 11 deacons too many, and I brought that up, and 10 of them were pretty good,
yeah.
But there were 21 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's another subject for another day. But anyway, church, they may have thought the same of me, by the way. But anyway, spiritually stagnant, I was not too bright. I was much younger, and I'm still not very bright at my age I am now, so let me get that out across. But anyway, have you ever been around a pond of water mm-hmm. that where livestock have done their thing on a hot July 31st day,
mm-hmm.
and you just came through a heat wave?
Mm.
Does it smell good?
No.
Well, to a cattle farmer, it's delicious.
Well, sure.
But to someone that I could still smell it. I wasn't a cattle farmer, but I was around cattle working with them all many
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm.
But
you got that smell in my nose now.
Radio is a theater of the mind. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to help you out.
I'm glad.
I don't have any pictures to show this morning on the radio. So so anyway, I want to get across to you what I did. I said that this church is spiritually stagnant, reminds me of pond water. Oh, my.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. I thought I was going to get ambushed and beat up right there in a meeting. But spiritually stagnant, it stinks. I mean, you're just not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Numerically declining. I hear aches and pains about that all the time and see it. And we'll just say, well, it's a condition of the person's heart. You're right. But what do they get when they come to your place? It's predictable, isn't it?
Mm.
Is there any sign of life?
Mm.
If you were to take your pulse, would you get one? Okay.
True.
And disconnected, this is the one for me right there that I think answers the majority of it. Disconnected from their mission. What is the mission of the church? Maybe you need to go back and start there. Revitalization seeks to bring new life, renewed purpose to churches who have lost their vitality. Now, let me give you some reasons that more than likely that this is happening. Many churches are plateaued or declining. Studies have been done that show 70 to 80% of evangelical churches, those are the ones I'm touching, in North America, that's the ones I'm interested in. I mentioned the whole body of Christ, but this is where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say, there are so many buildings around that are empty.
Yes.
That have become something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, I've seen people that had opportunities to merge together to form one healthy congregation wouldn't do it because grandma was saved over here in the altar. I got married here at this altar, and I've been sleeping the last 80 years right here too every Sunday. So that's what I want to do until the day I called home. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating, but that gets the point across. I've lived this,
mm-hmm.
and being an agent of trying to help merge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm speaking from experience, not from a book.
Yeah.
Now, the 70, 80% I got from a book. But anyway, they're either stagnant or they're declining. These churches may still gather weekly, but have little impact in their communities and rarely see new conversions or baptisms. Is that you? How long has it been since someone in your congregation has been saved, baptized, and you're reaching others on a regular basis? Oh, there's just not anyone around. Are you kidding me? When 9 out of 10 people don't know Jesus Christ, and even here in the Bible Belt, the hardest bunch to reach as there is because they think they're saved because they're made of a profession of faith, but nothing ever changed, but yet they choose to live their life in the end so they can put in the obituary he or she was of the Baptist faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know I'm speaking rather strongly, but I think sometimes it takes very strong speech.
Yes.
To get at the heart of the matter. When the doctor told me that I have a certain condition, and I still have it, I'm not get on the radio and talk about my health, but when he told me that, he said, I'd rather tell you you have cancer.
Yeah.
I said, what?
Hmm.
And so he was blunt. I called him Dr. Blunt, but he was joked with him. But truth matter is, if he hadn't told me, I might not be sitting here talking today.
Yeah.
So I know that's in God's hands, but not to deviate. These churches, that's just an illustration.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't want to hear it.
Mm-mm.
Mm. Well, what are you going to do about it?
If you
ignore diagnosis and just keep, for example, and just keep pouring on the wrong foods and the wrong, no exercise and not do anything, you will die.
You will.
These churches may still gather weekly, but they have little impact in their communities. I want to say that. Here's signs of decline. I think we know these, but I'm sitting at the table to hopefully say, I want to do something about it. I'm not your answer. The Holy Spirit is your answer.
That's right.
And leadership within that church mm-hmm. deciding that they want to seek him and be willing to make the changes that are necessary
mm-hmm.
to revitalize. Here are some signs. Dwindling attendance and engagement. Even if you go, you're not engaged. I'm going to step on some toes. Why is there, unless you're in on a broadcast or on something, is there a humongous clock so the preacher can see it?
Hmm.
Please tell me.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, why?
What for?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're in that big a hurry.
Yeah.
But yet we'll go to the ball game, sit there all day, and we'll go to travel sports and spend hundreds of dollars in hotels and do without something for the family, not pay our bills so we can go to travel sports.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have my attention.
But you can't give Jesus an hour or two.
An hour and 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Vance Havner says, you start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull.
Yeah.
Okay. Aging congregations, another sign, without teaching younger generations. One of the most beautiful, if not the more beautiful sound in a church is a baby crying.
Amen. I agree. Amen.
Loss of vision and inward focus. They have ingrown eyeballs. All you see is how we need to fix up our congregation and make this comfortable for us and no life. Mm-hmm. So here's some reasons for decline. The mission of the church is too important to neglect. Jesus commissioned the church to make disciples of all nations. So when a church drifts from this mission, it fails in its purpose. So becoming a religious institution rather than a gospel movement. Is my church or your church, is it a religious institution or is it a gospel movement? So revitalization refocuses the church on Christ's call to reach the lost. I hear more health and welfare prayer requests than I do for the lost.
Yeah.
Are we discipling believers? It's easy to teach about disciples, but you can only make disciples and making disciples, but you only can make who you are.
True.
And are we serving the community? I really believe that that's why we exist as here at Missionary Radio always have, is educate the Bible student and just to remember, evangelize the lost, number one, edify the saint, educate the Bible student, encourage the believer.
Amen.
But I think it's to encourage the army of the Lord to get with it.
Amen.
You're listening to
Missionary Radio.
Hi, this is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope. You're going to love Johnny's story about how Mr. Chow met Jesus. It all started when our friend Judy went on a Wheels for the World trip to China, but let's let Johnny tell it.
She was able to do follow-up on the disabled people who had received wheelchairs. Our partners at a local church took Judy to meet Mr. Chow. Mr. Chow had been a well-known and very skilled tailor in his city, but then he broke his neck in a motorcycle accident, and he became a quadriplegic. His wife, pregnant at the time, just felt she could not take care of a totally paralyzed man, even if it were her husband. And so, she left him and their son a few years later. Mr. Chow was left with nothing, and no one to take care of him except his elderly parents. They all worshipped idols, and they had absolutely no interest in Christianity. Yet they knew they needed help. Mr. Chow's parents were in their early 70s and could only do so much for their disabled son. He was forced into selling his beautiful home and moved himself, his son, and his elderly parents to a small fruit farm on the edge of the city. Now, it just so happened that a local church learned about this little family out on the fruit farm. And so they came and introduced themselves and offered to come and help with Mr. Chow's routines. The parents were hesitant at first, but then said yes, they would like the church people to please come and help, but they made it very clear they were not interested in hearing anything about Christ. Well, that did not deter these Chinese Christians. They came and they helped with Mr. Chow's routines for several months and never mentioned their faith in the Lord. The little family began to warm to their volunteer friends from church. They showed Mr. Chow and his parents what true compassion was all about, and these people from church also backed up their words of love with sacrificial deeds, and that is what began to soften the hearts of Mr. Chow and his mother and father. They began to see that Jesus, oh my goodness, really was the Son of God who truly cared for them. And it wasn't long before Mr. Chow's parents asked their new Christian friends to please help them remove the idols from their house. So, out in a cardboard box, they went. And shortly thereafter, our Wheels for the World team came to their city to distribute wheelchairs and Bibles. Mr. Chow's Christian friends from the local church, well, they brought him to the provision where he was perfectly fitted to a brand new wheelchair and given his own Bible. His parents were thrilled, and the whole family warmly embraced Christ as their Lord and Savior. When my friend Judy visited Mr. Chow, he thanked her, get this, for Mark chapter 16, where Jesus said, "Go out into all the world and preach the good news to everyone." Mr. Chow said he was so glad that our Wheels for the World teams go out into all the world, even to a place as far away as a little village in a northern province in China. Oh, thank the Lord for those dear church volunteers who came and helped a quadriplegic man and his elderly parents, a special needs family who no longer worship idols, but they worship the God of the Bible.
And friend, would you please pray as our Wheels for the World teams not only take wheelchairs, but Bibles and the good news of Jesus to even more people like Mr. Chow. We have teams traveling all over the world all summer long. So please, pray that more disabled people, like Mr. Chow, will turn away from idols and come to know the one true God and Redeemer of our souls, Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Max Lucado tells a story in a book called It's Not About Me and shares about a friend of his who had cancer. Some well-intentioned Christians told him, if you have faith, then you will be healed. But no healing came, only a crisis in faith in that man's life. Max suggested another answer to him. It's not about you, I told him. Your hospital room is a showcase for your Maker. Your faith in the face of suffering cranks up the volume of God's song. Let us rejoice that we can crank up the volume in prayer to show forth His praises. Lift up His name in whatever circumstance and praise Him and see what He'll do. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio and there is a song or message that applies to my situation.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Fresh wind, fresh fire here on Missionary Radio Front Porch.
And he's not talking about a breeze here on the 31st of July. He's talking, you know, the fresh wind, fresh fire of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about over the next times that I can, unless something comes up along the way that I will be deviated from the subject. But I really do see, and I think it's certainly not original with me. It's just becoming, as a longtime practitioner, an observation and living, and seeing that the need for revitalization in the churches. And I think a person that will recognize, you can't hype spirituality. You cannot cause it to happen. If it is not, here is the bottom line check for you from all of this, the bottom line work. What are you producing? Mm-hmm. What's coming from your gathering as a church? Are there disciples, true followers of Jesus Christ, making a difference in the community, mm-hmm. ministering in the name of Jesus? Just what are we producing?
So is that kind of like, what kind of fruit are we producing?
That in your own life, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But as a whole, as a church, we're to produce disciples,
yeah.
Period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we're not reproducing disciples, well, then what are we doing?
That's right.
I mean, there's mm-hmm. thousands and if not millions of admirers of Jesus.
Yes.
That wanted to give him a hand clap on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening in your life on Monday at the workplace? Mm-hmm. What's happening in my vocabulary the next day? Mm-hmm. What's happening in my stewardship all through my life? What is happening in my witness? Oh, I'm going to witness with my life. Well, great, you better. But I want to tell you something. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anybody win anybody to Jesus. I've seen somebody attract a conversation,
yeah,
with the living a great life. But if mm-hmm. you never open your mouth, faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. No one's going to get saved without the Word of God.
True, very true.
I mean, there are people who are non-Christian live better lives than some so-called Christians. Mm-hmm. That's a strong statement, but it's absolutely the truth.
It is. Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that live in the world that do a lot of good things for a lot of people.
Right.
They do.
But, and we should. But if it's not any power behind it, fresh wind, fresh mm-hmm. fire, you've not produced anything. There's a difference between mission and mission.
Mm-hmm.
Mission and ministry, excuse me. Let me explain what I mean. That's the subject we had as IMB missionaries a lot. What is the difference between ministry and mission? Sometimes you know you can paint a barn, you can paint a house, you can do a project, but did you tell anybody about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
There's the ministry
mm-hmm.
and the yep. mission. Ministry is getting you to the point of the mission. Mm-hmm. Which is telling people about Jesus. If that doesn't happen, I don't consider that a mission effort.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Mm-hmm. I know that's a bold statement, but I have know it to be true. Are we life-changing agents? So the mission of the church is too important to neglect because Jesus commissioned us to make disciples. When we drift from that, we're failing in our purpose. We need a refocus to reach the lost. Disciple believers, serve our community. Let me say that again. Reach the lost, disciple the new believers, and serve in our community and around the world, Acts 1:8. Another reason for revitalization, culture is rapidly changing. Now, that's a big statement.
Mm-hmm.
The cultural landscape is increasingly, it's been happening this way for a long time, is post-Christian. And churches that once thrive must now adapt within without compromising truth, the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we got to adapt, but if we compromise the truth to be part of the culture, to blend in, there's so many take-offs I can take from there, but I don't know if they're worth it right here on the radio this morning. But churches need to engage in their communities in fresh ways while staying grounded in the unchanging Word of God. Now, I will get clear, and hopefully it would be ideal, but I would be very careful who that is, I'm about to say, that someone that is practicing those things that are adapting to the culture but haven't changed the message and what the Lord's doing, I'd like to talk to you here on the front porch. But I'm not interested in how many shows you're having.
True, true.
I want to know how you've adapted to the culture, what you're doing within your congregation by adapting to the changes in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we're not compromising on the Word of God. If you're compromising on the Word of God, I really don't see this as a platform for you.
Mm-mm.
But we certainly would like to hear from you. Again, I'm not trying to set myself up as judge and jury, but if it is a compromise on the Word of God, we have no reason to hear true. About that.
Very true.
Because I've seen enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to have you on the radio. I see it.
Well, sure, sure.
So we need to adapt to changes in the culture, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not 1954.
No.
Or 1945.
Mm-mm. Things have changed. But the word is never going to change.
Amen. So it's got to be preached and taught in that platform, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if we're changing to become the culture, well, then we're wrong.
True.
God desires renewal and restoration. And again, some of this stuff will be fleshed out more. All of it will over time. But Scripture reveals a God who specializes in bringing dry bones to life. I said that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Restoring broken people and reviving weary hearts. Those are the three ingredients that's very important. Jesus himself called churches to repent, return, and be renewed. And case in point, all you have to do is just read about the churches of Asia Minor in Revelation 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see it. So that, and leadership burnout and spiritual apathy, they're real. Mm. And we'll talk about pastors leaving the ministry. It'd be really interesting to have one on to get honest enough as to why.
Yeah.
Many pastors and church leaders are exhausted, discouraged, or even isolated.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be isolated, and if you're preaching the Word of God.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this, though. We want to be your friend here. We want to honor those pastors that are not compromising, that aren't trying to adjust to the culture. And I'm not talking about genre of music, before you think that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's finally coming over to our side. I have no reason to talk to you about genre and music. Yeah. That's not what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not it. So please hear me.
Yeah.
Without intentional revitalization, these churches drift further into spiritual apathy or close their doors altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So revitalization then, praise the Lord, offers hope, support, and a framework to rebuild spiritually and structurally if you want to. We're talking about how we need some restructure and here in the United States of our roads and all of these things. No doubt, that's true. But if you just build a framework and do restructuring here in the church and make it prettier,
mm-hmm.
maybe if I put a few more flowers on the altar, that'll do it. No, it makes it nice. It'll be pretty.
Oh, yeah.
And the community still needs the gospel. Even if a church is declining, the need around it hasn't changed at all. Let me put this before you. Lost people still need Jesus.
Amen.
Families still need hope.
Yes.
The broken still need healing.
Mm-hmm.
So a revived church becomes a light on the hill once again. That's my heart.
There you go.
And so let's do it in about two different Sundays. You come and you preach a sermon and it'll be done. Nope. I promise you it won't. Mm-hmm. If anything, you said, what did he say?
Mm-hmm.
He that had ears to the hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, we're here at Missionary Radio, are on mission with you. We want to encourage you, but maybe we can say things that need to be said.
That's right.
You have a great day.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.